Man, 14 years old. That's unbelievable. That is really unbelievable. Yeah. My grandkids are bigger than I am. Just don't take a lot, but still. All right. I think Ascension Day is Thursday. Shirley asked me, she said, hey, are we ever going to talk about the Ascension? So I got to looking into it. I got something to talk about. First, let me grab your attention. You want something to pray about? Do you want something to pray about? Yes. Do you need more?
We need more?
All right. Let me see if I can find it. I'll give you something to pray about. I'll give you something to pray about. World Health Organization, the WHO, World Health Assembly, begins today.
Davos.
They're associated. World Health Assembly begins today, runs for 6 or 7 days. They will be voting today, or this week. They will be discussing and voting, 194 nations, on a treaty that is proposed. How many of you are familiar? You already know what I'm saying. Okay. All right. So there's a treaty that's been proposed that should we have another pandemic, the World Health Organization will rule the world. They will be sovereign over the planet. All sovereignty of the United States and of any other nation will go to them should we have another pandemic. The United States, our government, is definitely on board with this. They've proposed a couple amendments to this treaty, but our government is, yes, they have signed off already. Yes, here's our amendments. If you approve them this week, 194 nations vote, the next time we have a pandemic, we will have a one world government. You may want to pray about some of that. Now, is this the one world government? Well, we don't know. It's certainly a step toward that. I mean, it's not just like you're going to go, hey, we're all under one government now in this world. But that is certainly a nice little first step to one more government. And should they declare a pandemic, there's no voting on the United States to approve this. Should we follow them? No, we've already approved it. Our government has already said, yes, our government has already approved it. So once it's established, there's another pandemic. The World Health Organization is sovereign over the world and their leadership. So our government is in full approval of a one world government at that point. And who knows what else. Now, good news is that by far the majority of American citizens are like, I don't answer to them. I'm a United States citizen. I do not answer to the WHO. So there will be some pushback, no doubt. But they're voting this week. They are voting this week. 194 nations, if they accept the amendments, the revisions, it will begin November 22nd. It will begin 6 months from the ratification. If there's a pandemic in December, they rule the world. So, if they say, lockdown. Don't go to work? Don't go to work. Buy or sell food without our approval stamp? You don't buy or sell food without their approval. So, this may be something of interest to you. I'll tell you the same thing I told Devon, this morning. This is not the enemy winning. This is the Lord fulfilling His plan, coming to His wrath and His judgment. He is never, never, never not in control. 1 second of any day. He told us these things would happen. And they are happening. And He is in total and complete control. He is in total and complete control. But we need to know the landscape of what's happening. So, that's a good prayer request. Let's go to the Word of God for some hope. The ascension of Jesus. The ascension of Jesus is way more important than what we might think. Title of my message, The Ascension is Rapturous. Interesting stuff. If my plan, the way I'm planning the next week or two, I will speak on this at least another week. There's a lot here. So I'm planning on talking. I can be changed. I can be persuaded. But today we're going to talk about the ascension of Jesus. I think Thursday is Ascension Day. Interesting, as we were singing that song, all the world will praise His great name, Jesus. Now that is vile to our enemy, right? Our enemy, the Antichrist, who will rule that one world government, wants all the world to praise His great name, hence a one world government and a leader. Now we are sitting here singing, praise His great name, Jesus. So we are saying, no, we are in opposition. We follow Jesus. And it's His ascension that is rapturous, not the ascension of an Antichrist in a one-world government. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 6 through 11, I'll read this, make some comments. We'll move a little bit. There will be a few scriptures, 4, 5, 6, mentioned here this morning. We'll move kind of quickly in a bit of an overview fashion, but there'll be plenty of things here and a big surprise ending for you. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, He will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven. He is coming back in the same way He left. Let's pray. Dear Lord, You are our sovereign. You are our Lord. All the world will praise Your name and no one else's. You will make Your enemies Your footstool. So, Lord, we are here to praise You, to honor You, to be strengthened in You, in the power of Your great might. Lord, bless these scriptures. They are alive and true. Change us, convert us, transform us. Make us into the image of Christ. Give us strength and hope as this world will praise Your name. Amen. So there is the ascension in a nutshell. the end of Luke, it has a very parallel passage somewhat to this, but what I want you to notice in this is verse 6 and verse 7. So naturally, the resurrected Jesus is meeting with his disciples, and that means a larger group than just the 12, but they are there, and we know here in just a few verses, there's 120 staying there in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit. So he's with them, and they're just gathered somewhere here, right? When they had come together, verse 6. And so he's back from the dead, and the natural question would be, man, it's really good to have you back. Is it time? Are you going to take the throne? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You've defeated death. Woo! Is it time for you to set things right? Unexpectedly, I think you would have to say, he says it's not for you to know that. Not for you to know the time or the season. But you will receive power. The Holy Spirit will come. And you are going to have living in you this amazing power. And then he just goes up. He just goes up. Now, I can't tell you when the time is that you're going to set everything. Everything's going to be set right. It's not for you. But I will give you power. And as they're thinking, man, maybe now he's going to rule. Maybe now he's going now. And then he just goes up. And they're like, what? Can you picture this? And then, right? And then what happens? Well, two men stood by them in white robes. And they said, why are you looking there? He's coming back the same way. He's coming back. Go to Jerusalem. Wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. That power that will suffice, that is what you need. It's all you need. It is the power that is needed. Go and wait. Because he's coming back just like he left. Just like he left. And we know that's going to happen. We know that's going to happen. So it's an unexpected, really a conversation here that took a real unexpected twist, move, and they're thinking, you know, okay, now things are going to be right, and all of a sudden he's going up, and it's just like, whoa, we had him back from the dead. We thought, man, this was it. Really an unexpected move here. What's not unexpected is the ascension of the Messiah. Don't know if you knew that or not, but if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Actually, the ascension is pretty accepted, pretty common, I guess you'd say. Not common, but it's definitely not as wild-eyed and crazy as you and I might think the ascension is to the Jewish mind. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1, the words of Agar, son of Jake, the oracle. The man declares, I'm weary, O God, I'm weary, O God, and worn out. That sounds like us. I'm weary and worn out. Surely I'm too stupid to be a man. I've not the understanding of a man. I've not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One who has ascended to heaven and come down, who has gathered the wind in his fists, who has wrapped up the waters in a garment, who has established all the ends of the earth. What is his name and what is his son's name? Surely you know. The ascension is not some new, weird, wild thing to the New Testament. They were okay with that. They were okay with that. Elijah was taken up in chariots of fire. And they understood God to be a God of power and a God of ability to take someone up. That's totally, totally God-like to do that. It's accepted. The ascension was unexpected, but it is accepted. And it is an exalted thing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, the Holy Spirit had come there to Pentecost, and as you might know, they begin to speak in languages called tongues in your Bible. It's just the word glossa. It is languages. They began to speak in languages. And so there is this list of nations and regions named from Italy to Egypt to Iran and Iraq, Assyria. And they're just saying, we hear them speaking in our language, in our native dialect. And so this is going on, and always there's mockers looking on, and they're just listening to this, and they ask for an explanation. Peter gives it to them. In verse 23, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. He is always in control. The enemy is not winning. He is in control. Jesus was delivered up according to a definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed this Jesus by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Verse 29, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw, David, foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain, God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, well, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the ascension is talked about here in David's psalm when he says, Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. He is exalted. And it wasn't David that ascended. He wasn't talking about himself. Jesus is exalted in the ascension, in ascending and sitting at the right hand of God. And quite honestly, if you read your scriptures, you know, and Jesus taught this, the Old Testament taught this, the New Testament taught this, the Holy Spirit was not coming until he was exalted. Until he was there and received the gift from the Father and sent him to us. So no ascension, no exaltation to the right hand of God, no Holy Spirit. But we are told, everyone who repents and believes will be forgiven and will receive the Holy Spirit, this great power that we need for this time. So the ascension is an exaltation of Jesus. It brings the Holy Spirit. It is the victory of Jesus to finally sit at the right hand of God. It's surely compassionate that our Savior, sitting at the right hand of God, would forgive and save those who crucified Him. You crucified Him. That's what He just said. That's what Peter just said. You have crucified the Holy One. What do? Repent and believe. Repent and be baptized. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit. You'll be forgiven. I mean, the exaltation is the exaltation of a King, of our Lord, of our Savior, who is compassionate. He's not just powerful, but He's compassionate. He's exalted, and He is compassionate even to those who crucified Him. Oh, there's nothing you and I can do that would ever negate His compassion and His mercy and His forgiveness and His love. All we need to do is what Peter and Jesus said: repent of your sins and be baptized. Repent and believe. There's no shortcutting that with belief. We must repent and believe. And we will receive power. Power. The gift from God of the Holy Spirit. So it's an exaltation of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. If you'd turn there. Kind of in an overview kind of a way here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. I'll begin at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. In saying He ascended, what does it mean but that He also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave the gifts. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So this exaltation, this ascension, He sent the Spirit and He gave gifts. He's given us power in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us gifts. He's laid out this plan with the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. At the end of verse 10, it says that He might fill all things. The ascension fulfills the entire work of the cross. The ascension is the culmination. Yeah, the resurrection is absolutely the amazing, a crown in the middle of that setting, but to fulfill it, to complete it, Jesus needed to ascend and sit at the right hand of God. He is the Lord and the Christ, it says. He is your Lord. If you repent and believe, repent and are baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, He is not only your Savior, but your Lord. He sits on the throne. So it is quite amazing. He is gracious. And it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men. When a ruler would conquer a land, he could do a couple things. He could take prisoners, or he could free captives. And I was a captive. I was a captive to my sin. And He set me free. And He won the victory and let a host, a parade of captives set free. And He gave gifts. That's just typical. When you conquer, you give gifts. A good ruler gives gifts to the people and to those around him. And so he set the captives free. He led a host of captives with him, me being one. And he gave us gifts. He is a compassionate, wonderful Savior who loves his people. And he fills all things. The ascension completes the gospel story. It doesn't complete the whole story, but the gospel story is completed. He's not just the Savior of the cross. He's the Savior and the Lord of those who repent and believe, who turn to him for salvation, to be set free from the captivity of their sin and of their life. He fills all things. There's no room for any other Lord in my life. He is Lord. He is my Lord. It's quite an amazing thing. This gives us hope. This gives us tremendous hope, does it not? Our King, our Lord, our Savior is gracious and compassionate and giving. We have His Spirit now. He's in complete control. Anything that's happening now is in His complete control. They don't even know it. They thought they were crucifying Him. They were playing right in to the plan and knowledge, foreknowledge of God, as they are still today. You don't need to fear. You need to be prepared, but you don't need to fear. This is hope. This is hope. Let me give you one specific example of your hope. John chapter 14. If you would turn to John chapter 14. Jesus preached this, taught this. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's straight up. The Old Testament taught the ascension, the exaltation of Jesus. It's not new. John chapter 14, verse 1. Here's good advice for you and I. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's come and he's coming again to take us to the Father. How's that going to look? Well, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, caught up, snatched from this life. He says it. He's teaching them right here. He's there preparing. He ascended into heaven, and he's preparing a place, preparing rooms, preparing space for us, for his people. He's such a good God. He's preparing a place for you. And he says, don't be troubled. And you know the way to the Father. It's through me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He is the Lord, he is the Christ. He is preparing a place for us. It's awesome, it's beautiful, isn't it? And of course, Thomas would say, we don't know where you're going or how you're going. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him, seen the Father in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. You've seen him. It's quite an amazing thing. What is our hope? That he is there. He is on the throne. He is exalted. He has completed the gospel story. The work of the cross was completed when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, having ascended, being taken up. And he is there still active, preparing for us, interceding for us. He's in complete control. So in Acts chapter 2, it wouldn't be that unusual. In Acts chapter 2, verse 26, when David writes this psalm about the Lord, "I saw the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope." That's our hope. The ascension, the Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father, that's our hope. "You will not abandon my soul to Hades or let the Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence." That's our hope. He is our hope. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's absolutely, He fills all things. He's Lord and Savior. He's gracious and kind and loving and forgives even those who hurled insults and crucified Him. "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And now He forgives them and invites them to repent and believe, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing, amazing God. It's rapturous. This is our future home. Our future home with the Father and the Son. He's preparing a future home. The ascension / rapture is unexpected. It came upon them suddenly, as it will come upon others. The rapture will be in the twinkling of an eye. It means it'll just be unexpected. It'll just be boom. There it is. The rapture. As the ascension was as well. All of a sudden He's going up. It's like, whoa. It's quite an amazing hope. They didn't know the time. They didn't know the day. He told them, "That's not for you to know." They were thinking He's going to restore the kingdom. Boom, He's going up. The rapture will be the same way. The ascension is rapturous. It will be unexpected. It will be at a time when people don't know it. But a rapture, what I want you to get this morning is that a rapture ascension is not unheard of at all in the Bible. If someone says to you, "Well, it's not, that word's not in there, that's not possible, it's not..." Let me tell you, the ascension and the rapture type experience is all over the Bible, Old and New Testament. Ask them, was Elijah, was that a real story? Why does the psalmist write about it? Why does Agar in Proverbs write about the ascension? These things are not fanciful or impossible with God at all, at all. In the coming weeks, that's what I hope to show you some more. To say, look, here's more, here's more. I don't know how many weeks that'll take or what that'll do. We won't expect it. We won't know when it's going to happen. We, like them, could be hoping for the Lord to come back and set everything straight. And in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, we find ourselves leaving. We will be snatched away. So the rapture is a snatching away. And that word is, in the Greek, it's harpazo. Snatch away. Harpazo. Okay? I'll put it up here for you. Harpazo. It's a snatching away. Now, this word is used various ways at times, but this could be and is used in a negative way. Whereas if somebody has something, and you snatch it away from them. It's just like, give me that. You snatch it away. You just take it. Maybe unexpectedly, you take it. And so that is the connotation. This is an unexpected kind of a snatching away, like the ascension. Harpazo, it's snatched away. In Revelation chapter 12, if you would turn there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. There's this kind of an illustrative picture of what has been happening and what is happened. And it's really kind of focusing on the enemy. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, I interpret this to be Israel, a woman with 12 stars, 12 tribes of Israel. I interpret this to be Israel. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains at the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. You know who that is? And his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. I take this child to be the Christ child. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. That is Jesus. That is Jesus. Psalm tells us Jesus will rule the nations with a rod of iron. The male child, the woman Israel gives birth to a male child. The enemy is ready to snatch that child, to kill that child. And certainly Herod was attempting to do that. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days, 3.5 years. So, this picture of the enemy trying to kill the child, and the woman fleeing for 3.5 years, God has prepared a safe place for her for 3.5 years. And the tribulation is really all about Israel in so many ways, and the redemption and fulfillment of Israel. And they will be seemingly safe for 3.5 years, and then the rest of the story, right? So we get it. Jesus was caught up to God and to his throne. He ascended into heaven and sits on the throne. But what caught my eye was when it says, but her child was caught up to God and his throne. Harpazo, raptured. He was raptured to God and his throne. Same word. Actually, this word is used several other times in the scriptures. So the ascension was a rapture. It was a harpazo. The ascension is rapturous, you might say. It's an unexpected snatching away. And possibly this rapture that we talk about in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we always envision it as gone. And that could be. But I just wonder if at the moment a twinkling of an eye doesn't mean it's going to be very unexpected. I mean, you are not destined for wrath, and as things develop and you just totally don't understand it, all of a sudden God just snatches us away. Not hard at all for God. All over the scriptures. The ascension is rapturous, is however you want to call it. God can sweep you away with chariots of fire. But you are not destined for wrath, and you will clearly be removed, snatched away by God before the wrath of the dragon. Jesus was raptured, ascended to the throne unexpectedly, and you and I are promised the same thing. We will be snatched away, not destined for wrath. So my first thought is, I don't want you to think that this rapture ascension type thing is some new foreign weird thing to the Bible in the New Testament. It's not. Totally common, totally accepted. God can do this. God can do this. Jesus did it, and we will do it likewise. If we are alive and remain, we will do it likewise. We will ascend, rapture, however. We don't know the time. It will be unexpected in the moment, twinkling an eye. All of a sudden you're talking, however quick, however fast, whatever it looks like. We're talking, making plans. Is it time? We're gone. Because we are not destined for wrath. So I don't want us to feel like the rapture is this totally foreign, totally weird thing, and people to tell, you know, that word's not even in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible. It's called harpazo. And Jesus did it, and we will do it. We are told we will do it. 1 Thessalonians. So I don't want you to feel that strangeness about it. I want you to remember the ascension was what provided us with the Holy Spirit, and you and I should have power. If you and I have the Holy Spirit in you, you have power. You don't need to be afraid. You do not need to be afraid. The ascension provided the Spirit the power. Jesus told us over and over, you do not need to be afraid. Don't fear man, what he can do to you, fear God. You do not need to be afraid. You have power. Do you not? You'll need to look inside your soul, inside your heart. Do I have this power? And number three, the final thing, and I close, is the hope. The hope. Devon didn't know this. He was talking to me this morning, and he got a little bit of my sermon in there. Look, so everything they're doing, our government, everybody, the world, they're all moving toward a one-world government. It totally makes sense to them. It makes sense to the Bible. I mean, it's going to happen. But if there's no God, if there's no God, then much of what they're doing would make sense from their side of it. If you're looking at it and there is no God, it's just us, then the things they're doing in their sinful self, much of it, but still, they're doing what evolved microorganisms, sinful at that, do to preserve their existence, so to speak. In their corruption, in their strife for power and money and authority and rulership. I want the whole world to praise the Antichrist's great name. Okay, if there's no God, yeah, that's what they're doing. Typically, you and I, we know better, but we live our life like this life is 90% of all there is. You and I get up every day and we live like there's just today is the day, and I have got to thrive and soak it in and grab it and protect it and hold this day and this beauty, and it's about this life. And we know, we believe, but we live like this is it. And the ascension would tell us it's not it. That we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. That everything is happening and moving to take us to the place prepared by Jesus for us, to take us into the presence of God. And this little commercial is very fractional of our true life and existence when we ascend, when we rapture, when we go to the Father, to the place He's prepared for us. And that is our hope. That is our strength. You can't hurt me. Whatever you concoct out there, you can't hurt me. Because my life is a commercial in this grand novel. And my life and my eternity is there. Colossians chapter 3 says, my life is hidden with Christ, but when He appears, then I will appear with Him in glory. He is my life. I'm at a bus stop. I'm at a bus stop waiting to get on the bus of life, true life. You can't hurt me. The ascension tells us that. The ascension gives us that hope and that glory and that strength of the Holy Spirit to bow to our King and to our Lord, who is sovereign over all, who is seated at the right hand of God. And as He ascended, we will unexpectedly leave as well, snatched away from the teeth of God's wrath on this planet to live our life, to live our eternity. The way? Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Even you who hung Him on the cross, who yelled at the top of your lungs, "Crucify Him!" Repent and believe, and you'll receive forgiveness of your sins in the Holy Spirit. There's nothing you can do to stop His mercy and grace in the death, burial, resurrection, an ascension of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is there for every person here. He's our hope. He's our strength. He's our all in all. He's our Lord. I will be bowing to Jesus, not a one world government, not the World Health Organization, or anyone else who will lead that step into a one world government. I won't be bowing. I won't be bowing. Jesus is our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, for truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are truth, Jesus. You are the way, and You are life. And I bow to that. We bow to that. Thank You. Thank You for teaching us. Thank You for exploring eternity for us, showing it to us, pulling back the curtain, and revealing not just this life, but life in eternity with the Father. Lord, we love You. As we watch this world fulfill Your plan for the wrath of God, Lord, I pray, my biggest prayer is the Holy Spirit will just come alive in us. Speak like He's never spoken before to each person here, myself included, Lord. May we find power and strength we've never had before. May our minds rest on the place You are preparing for us. when you snatch us out of here, away from the wrath of God. We love you. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.